It's a miracle.
And Ivy, and you are listening to Black, Broke and Brilliant.
Coming up on today's episode, we'll be discussing all things primary school, so let's get into it.
So today is a very special day because we are joined by one half of Black Scott Pod. Thank you so much for joining us, Susie.
You're so, so welcome. I'm so excited to even be here.
Oh, same. Like, I'm so gassed because your podcast is literally one of my faves. So this is a great moment for me.
I love it. I also love you guys' podcast.
For our listeners, you can expect the most unfiltered, candid conversations from Black Scott Pod. So over to Susie to tell us about your great podcast.
So actually Black Scott Pod. So Shirley and I created this podcast out of like a need for something a little bit different because we love listening to podcasts, but it was quite clear that there wasn't that sort of distinction of a difference in voice. So we would just hear a lot of the views were London centric or American centric, but you just never used to hear that nuance in you know, the Black British experience, which is, hey, Scotland. There's people in Scotland. So we thought, yeah, you know what, let's make a podcast where, you know, the host is Scottish and we touch on some Scottish issues and the upbringing and all the experiences that we've had, but also just, you know, have a bit of banter, but also just hear something a little bit more familiar.
Yeah. And I feel like it's like educational but also just funny and so relatable. So yeah, if you like this podcast, you'll love Black Scott Pod.
Honestly, like when I first started listening to it, I was just like, oh my goodness, it's so great to hear just like different voices. Like I was like, the accent, I'm here for it. But also it's like we have similar experiences because exactly. We're Black women, but it's also like very nuanced to Scotland, so it was great to like hear those similarities but also like learn about these differences.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that was always kind of like the setup for us, was we are part of something so much larger, and what we want to do is bring in other people into our experiences and just kind of like share, like you say, the nuance in our experience.
Yeah And I feel like it's exactly what the world needed. Like it was about time.
Yeah. Not to definitely. Yeah. It was time.
It really was. So yeah, go check it out, guys. But yeah, back to the episode. I just feel like the world is a bit of a shambles right now. So yeah. I think we just need to throw it back to a simpler time. We just need to take it back to primary school when life was a lot simpler. And I feel like I was coming out with some really questionable looks and hairstyles, and we just need to unpack some of that.
Definitely. I've actually just flashed back to, oh my god, it's a classic, but the blue eyeshadow, it's a classic, but again, I think we just need to touch on that. Were we all collectively thinking?
Like, who let us leave our houses like that? Like, how is that acceptable?
Honestly though, like when I watch like old movies or just music videos from like the late 90s, early noughties, like 3LW, their whole blue look with the shimmery blue eyeshadow. I was like, we really were running with this, okay? No blending whatsoever.
I think blue eyeshadow only works if you've got money.
Yeah. Then you can kind of allow it. Everyone else, the average person, it's not for you.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know if you remember that Sean Paul Blue Control song. And I think she had like an all blue outfit on. And that's the only situation where it really worked. Any common person going down the high street with a blue eyeshadow, like the metallic blue, specificness, the metallic blue eyeshadow, you do not look like Blue Cantrell in that video.
No. And you can just see it from a mile off. Like it's just, it just stands out. It's not a look. But we were convinced that that was style.
Yeah, that was a fail.
We were convinced of a lot of things back in the day, but I always love like looking at old pictures. I actually found a few. But when I was younger, like my favorite hair accessory was bobbles. And I used to have these one with like little ice creams on the ends, and they were literally my favorite. And I don't care if it's like out of trend, but when I have kids and if I have a daughter, like we're running with the hair bobbles.
Oh, I love that. So that sounds like your hair could actually, like, you know, grow.
You're like, can't relate.
You, I can't relate because my hair does this thing where it just cuts for no reason.
I feel you.
I would have loved some bubbles. I was just with those little clips trying to get them to clip in and keep my hair in place. It just wouldn't.
Oh, you mean the big clips or the small ones? Because you know how you get like the jumbo size ones, and again, I would try that thinking it'd keep everything down, and it never kept anything down.
No, it really didn't, did it?
I feel like I would get to school looking half decent, and then an hour into the day, like, just all hell breaks loose. There's no symmetry anymore. There's no styling. All the gel that was on my hair is evaporated, and it's just chaos.
But I have a question for you both.
Go on.
Did you ever try to attempt the fringe with your natural
hair? That was not for me. Absolutely not.
Yes, I remember it was year 9, and at this stage I was like, I really just want to dye my hair, but because I went to like a Catholic all girls school, like you couldn't have like unnatural hair colors. Mm-hmm. So I remember using like this app where you could just like could take a picture and then change the color of your hair in the app, and I don't know why, but like I just wanted to test out a fringe but without like having to cut my hair, because that's a big like commitment. So I just got straighteners and I just curled them like a lot so it would shorten. And then for about I don't know how many weeks, like that was just my look. It was like a full fringe, like literally from like one ear to the other.
Great. And I was like,
oh my head, I can cut it.
Do any pictures exist?
I was gonna say I need to put them on the story next week, because
and it's so weird because like I literally never ever have a fringe, but in year 9 I just wanted to try it and I ran with it. But literally, I think I must have had it for maybe like 2 or 3 weeks, and then I started to break out on my forehead, and I was like, "Do you know what?
Oh no! Well, that's a sign. That's like a sign from God that it's not for you."
Yeah.
Wait, let me just double check. What's year 9? Like, what age is that?
Like 14.
I'm still trying to get to grips with yours. Okay, right.
Wait,
okay,
what do you have in Scotland?
Yeah, do you not?
Yeah, we have like S, which is like secondary.
Oh.
So like S1, S2, S3. So that's when S1 is when you get to high school. So that's
that would 13. Be seven, so year 9 would be S3.
Honestly.
Why is there any need to make it that complicated? Why would you not all just have
I know. That's so what we're trying to figure out.
Like, we're really the same island. Like, why did we...
That is a very good question. It's a very good question. But yeah, so I always find it difficult trying to like convert it, because you're like, year 9. I'm like, wait, what's that?
It's like a maths equation. It's like, get quick maths. This is long division. Like,
I love that you guys were trying out different hairstyles and stuff, like, so young. It took me until maybe S4. So I think I was just about to hit 16 with that one to actually venture out into hairstyles.
But what were you having before? What was the look?
It was always braids, wasn't it? It had to be braids. Yeah. Go back home, get the braids, come back.
Nice
braids. Nice braids. I thought about weave, but my mum was like, no, that's for grown girls.
Oh, one of them ones. Yeah, I hear that.
It was mainly just braids, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was kind of similar. When I was younger, when I was like maybe, well, 7, 8, 9, around that period, it was just like, I just didn't care about what I looked like. I was just kind of like, you know what, we'll just throw in 2 plaits, we'll go to school, no symmetry, straight vibes. And then it went to like just a puff on top of my head, and again, straight vibes. And then I was like, you know what, we should have braids. And then kids were calling me like Medusa, and I was like, this is more
that was literally for my nickname as well. Is this what people are coming, like, genuinely, is there no original, you know, what you call it? Is there an original nickname for braids? Yeah. Is there an original nickname?
That's the thing, there's no creativity.
It's literally like from the bottom of Britain to the top of Britain, it's all Medusa. Like, what's going on?
Did you guys ever see that tweet where it's like, I'm convinced we're all living the same life?
Yes.
Yes, we must be.
Like, black people just seem to have so many crossovers when it comes to experience. Like, what are the chances that both nicknames were Medusa? Like, right? Some originality, people.
No, and this was before Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah.
They couldn't even coordinate these insults.
Exactly. They just really felt that in their soul. That is telling.
It's a shared consciousness, I'm telling you.
I miss the days when, like, my mum was responsible for doing my hair and I was not. I didn't have to think about it. Like, before I knew it, my mum had, like, washed my hair, blow dry it, it was styled. Now, getting to the stage where, like, I had to do my, like, going off to uni and having to do my own hair was a very traumatic, and, like, it was something where I had to learn to, and it was a struggle, but, you know, we're here now, we move. But I found a picture lying around in my living room, and I think I was, like, 4 years old. This was infant school, and I had this, like, it was like a ponytail, but it was like a cornrowed ponytail, and it was just like up, not like the nice ponytails that you see now, because it was at an angle. So I remember when I was younger, I always used to complain, like, "Mum, please don't give me that hair," because in my mind it looked like a tomato or a pineapple, but it was like one side.
No,
like everything was just like cornrowed up.
No, oh no, I hear that. I hear that.
Remember those? Yeah, I wouldn't. When you think about, like, if you had your own kids and what hairstyles you'd give them, imagine they go to school and they're literally like, "I just want to go and take this out right this second."
Yeah.
Imagine. But you think, "Oh my God, she looks so, so cute, so adorable. Wow."
Yeah. Literally. I went through this phase of, like, wanting to just recreate all these really cute hairstyles. And you know when, like, you will even, like, join forces with your mom and you'll try and recreate this look, and the expectation versus reality, it just never matches up, and it just really humbles you in that moment.
Yeah, it's so true.
It's tragic. It's really tragic. And then on to outfits. What kind of looks were you wearing to school when you were, like, 10, 11, 12?
That was a mess. Corduroy. I can't lie, it was just corduroy, wasn't it?
I forgot that was a material.
I'm dead. I genuinely wish I had school uniform, because I should not have had that much control over what I was wearing.
Wait, you got to choose?
You didn't get to choose?
No.
Oh my God, that's really sad.
No, I mean, I was really glad that we didn't get a, like, sort of skirts and all that kind of stuff, because we were allowed to wear trousers and shorts and just whatever it is, as long as it was navy blue or black.
Okay.
So that was actually quite good.
Mine was the same. Like, I went to both, like, my primary and my secondary school. Like, we had to wear uniforms. So literally since the age of 4, I've been wearing uniforms. So that, like, in primary school, it was navy blue. And, like, we had a red tie. So, again, like, we were allowed to wear trousers. Thank goodness. And it didn't have to be skirts. But I used to get, like, so excited to, like, iron my shirts, like, put on my uniform and just look all smart. And then when I got to secondary school, my uniform was horrible. It was, like, forest green. Like, we literally looked like trees. We had to wear, like, kilts and these blazers and jumpers. And it was a lot of green. It was a lot of green. But I'm glad I had that, because then I didn't have to think about, like, "Oh, what am I going to wear? Will I look in style?" And all of that business, because, like, we all look the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what left it up to your hair. That's where you really express yourself. Yeah. It was all about the hair. But, sorry, I'm still kind of trying to come to terms with the fact that you could actually put your hair into, like, a pony, like a puff. I'm being so serious here, but I've only just managed in my, like, late 20s to grow my hair to a point where I can put it in a puff.
Do you know what, though? I feel like, I hear that, because I feel like there's such a lack of, like, sometimes knowledge of just what to do with black hair and, like, what it actually needs and how to make it grow. And you watch all these YouTube videos and you're like, okay, I do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, my hair will grow, and then it doesn't grow, or it gets tangly, or it shrinks even more. It's just like, too much information.
It's even the environment that we're in. It's not, because Scotland is a bit, like, it's windy and it's cold, and it's just like for all intents and purposes, it's a harsh environment. So our hair definitely suffers. And then there's the fact that we don't have as many hairdressers that cater to us as, you know, maybe the rest of the UK. And it's just kind of like, yeah, what chance do I actually have?
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
No, literally, yeah, it's not ideal. I feel like I need to just go to an expert that just can figure out my hair and tell me what to do, because I'm like, I haven't got it figured out.
So here's a question. See that No, that's okay. I was gonna say, when you look at all these YouTube videos and you see people say 4C hair, like, is that actually 4C? Because I'm starting to think like I must be 4D here. it's not 4C the way that they're saying it's 4C.
Literally, and so many of those videos will tell you that you actually have like different hair types, like at different places of your head. So like the back of your hair may be like 4B and the front is 4C. But then they're also just like, you need to figure out what works for your hair, find out your porosity. I'm like, what do these words mean? How do I know this shampoo is working for my, like, how do I know? I don't know what this is for.
Does anybody actually have a definitive way of telling what our hair is? Like, what is it? Because I am sick and tired. Like, I remember one day I said, okay, you're going to treat yourself. You're going to actually take care of your hair and it's going to be glowing. It's going to be so good. We go on YouTube. Oh, here's this amazing, you know, 10-step routine to how to wash my hair, detangle, the whole shebang. I'm going to roll it like this, the way she's saying, and it's going to come out with those little nice, you know, those little nice curls. The soft one. Well, let me tell you that my hair was not different. Like, at the end, it just looked the same. It's like I'd done nothing at all.
That is heartbreak right there. That is actually
hours.
I've been doing that exact same thing with like the wash and goes, where they're like, yeah, if you just put loads of gel in it and you just detangling, yeah, the curls will be defined. And put like half a tub of gel in my hair and it looked exactly, it was just an afro. No curls, just straight afro. I felt denied, you know.
Yeah, it was just a hairstyle with loads of gel in it. That's it. Literally. You just put like a lot of gel in your hair for no reason. That's what it feels like. I feel attacked by like YouTube sometimes. I really do.
I feel like this is witchcraft or sorcery. That's the only explanation. I don't know what they're doing and how they're doing it, but
yeah,
it's not working for me.
That's not 4C. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I feel like 4C hair has a reputation for being difficult to manage. So I feel like anyone who struggles with their hair just claims 4C. There'll be someone with 3B hair and they're like, no, I have 4C. Mm-hmm. It's like, honey, your hair is curly. It's
I've seen my 4C hair. I can't get my comb through. You can actually see that the comb is going through so much easier than if you try to do it yourself.
Yes. Like water.
Girl, please.
Cutting through like water. That's definitely no.
They hit one kink on the way like down to comb in their hair. Oh, it's 4C. Nah. I'm sorry, I can barely get all of the teeth and the comb into my hair. This is 4C hair.
Literally. Like, they don't know our struggle.
But I digress. That's like the hair dryer. Like, when my mum would, like, try and, like, blow dry my hair and the comb would just flick off at least one sitting. I was like, rah, getting my hair done is painful, especially as a child, because, like, she would just be screaming, ow, it hurts.
Yeah. And you know what, like, one time my mama actually just said to me, well, it got to a certain length. I remember this day so clearly because I feel like she just took one look at my hair and she said, I can't not be bothered. And she just said to me, I can comb your hair or I can shave it off.
I was thinking those two options. Like, my mom said the exact same thing.
Just had to shave it off.
That's it. A rule book or something.
I'm dead. Do you know what though? I kind of relate. Like, if I have kids and they're expecting me to do their hair every day, are you joking? To have that energy, I have to do it with my own hair.
Exactly. There's just I'm not doing it. Sorry. I think we're just gonna have to get the relaxer or just shave it. That's it. Until you're ready to do it yourself, I can't be bothered. Sorry.
Yeah. And now I understand why my mum used to relax my hair, because this natural hair lifestyle is tough. It's tough.
It's
like a full-time job, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're not getting paid to do it, so you know what? Not for me.
But, you know, like, going back to like outfits in uniform, once I got to sixth form and I joined Ivy School, where it was like, oh, own clothes, because my whole life, like, I'd been given a uniform, I was like, what do I wear? Like, what's my style? So those 2 years of sixth form were me just trying to, like, figure out what worked. It got to a point where I was literally just wearing, like, the same hoodie every day and, like, a beanie.
Oh,
you were very colourful, though, Sammy. You were very, very colourful.
I love that, though. Hoodie and a beanie can't... It's, like, underrated.
It's true. It's so true.
It's underrated, for sure. I mean, when I was outside of school, like, genuinely, I don't know what my fashion sense was. And to this day, I still don't know what it is. It was just a mess. It was left, right, and center. It was corduroy. It was, you know, denim. Mm-hmm. Somehow, something with crochet in it.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember, like, a crochet-type print type thing with the, like, the collars.
I that's not ringing a bell.
Oh, well, maybe it was just my mum, like, exercising her crocheting skills. But, nah, it was just a mess. It was just, like, left, right, and centre. But, yeah, I think it got a lot better as I got older, but I've still got a long way to go, I think.
Yeah, same. I feel like every few years I look back on my outfits and I'm like, what was I actually thinking? Yeah. I feel like 2 years from now I'll be like, who let you leave the house like that?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a vicious cycle.
I watched the most amazing YouTube video. I forgot who even what the channel is, but they break down fashion over the last couple of decades, like in a fun way, in an engaging way that I'm not like just like, what is this? But basically they were talking about how the early 2000s are coming back, like they're coming back with a vengeance, and the style trends to watch out for and whatever. I was like, oh, where was this video when I was growing up?
Right.
Where was this video to see where the trends are going and what's coming back? So actually, the little bobble thingies that you were talking about, they're coming back in, apparently.
Yeah, I've seen those. I've seen like people getting their hair braided and like putting bobbles in. I'm like, nostalgia.
Yeah, and the school outfits. So I guess plaid and all those other fabrics are coming back into it. You know, the long socks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I still have my kilt, but I don't think it's going to see me again. It's just in there because I didn't know what else to do with it. Like, it's still in my wardrobe, but I doubt I'm ever going to wear that plaid kilt again.
Yeah.
It'll fully stay in my wardrobe.
Would you wear a corduroy outfit again?
I've never actually worn corduroy before.
Have you not?
I've never worn it, but like, if you get me like a beige corduroy pair of trousers, I reckon I could rock that, like brown neutral tones.
It could be nice, actually.
It's what I'm going for right now. But when you said collars, it made me think of, I can't remember like what year it was, but like it was so in to like wear things with collars and then like put a jumper on top, but like the collar had to show, like the collar was the look.
Yeah.
So I remember buying like a denim, it was a denim sleeveless shirt, but like the only reason I bought it was for the collar, and I'd literally wear that under everything, put on my jumper, and then like you would pop out the collar. So and I don't know why it was a look, but it was like collars were in.
I did that as well. I did that.
Oh, I love that. That I should like, do this.
Was it just me?
I still do that.
I think it's cute. I'm here for it.
I'm settling into my late 20s. I'm wearing the collars and jumpers and stuff.
See, better late than never, right?
I'm doing the formal look.
I'm dead.
It just helps like accentuate the jumper a bit more when there's a collar.
It does. Especially when the shirt underneath is something with a like a pattern or something like that. Yeah. Just pops. It shows, yeah.
Adding a bit of spice to the outfit, you know?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think also during lockdown, like what I've managed to do is gain some weight. So what I've been doing is definitely wear a collar and the jumper, because the jumper just kind of like flows with the weight gain. So there's layers. That.
Yeah.
Oversized jumper.
That for sure.
Oversized hoodies, oversized everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know it.
How would they know?
How would they know?
They're going to know.
I love it.
What were you guys like in primary school? So I guess primary is like 5 to 11 years old. Like, what were you like as a kid?
So I kind of split my upbringing between so I was born in Zambia and I lived there until I think I was like seven, eight, and then I moved to Botswana. My parents got a job there. So I did some more, probably like 2 years of primary school there, and then I came here for like the last 2 years.
Wow.
I love it. So I got a bit of a mishmash in different types of culture and all that stuff for primary school. But I think I was always like a mischievous like kid. Like I was always quite outspoken.
I love that.
I was always outspoken. It got me into trouble sometimes, especially back home. Like, I'm not even joking. I feel like I was never out of detention. But I was always for like talking too much. But when I got to the UK, I think I kind of leveled off a little bit, because obviously I didn't know what the the hell was going on over here, trying to like figure it out and what my place was in this new world. And I'd like to think I was a little bit more muted, but I was still quite like an unopinionated kid. Surely from what the bits and bobs that I experienced and what I saw of her, she was kind of like, she kept to herself, but I think she was also still like, she had a wee bit of an opinion.
Yeah, I love that. I also feel like in parents' evening, teachers' criticisms would always be like, oh, you talk too much, you talk too much. I'm like, I have a personality. What do you want me to do?
Right?
Yeah, exactly. This is like having an opinion in primary school definitely prepares you for it. Later life, because people will always expect you to have an opinion. But furthermore, I think like loads of other people have opinions, so it's good to get that practice of like putting yourself out there. But I also know that people are, you know, a little bit more reserved and introverted and stuff, so like fair dues to them as well.
Yeah,
I think I was definitely like more introverted. I was like really quiet and quite shy at school. Like when I was around my family, like I was fine, but just in school I was definitely far like more just like quiet and just like tried to keep myself to myself, except for when it came to like anything to do with acting.
Love it.
Like, I'm gonna steal the show, like put me on a stage and I would just come alive, you know. So assemblies, I've always loved like doing assemblies. I was like, miss, I've learned all my lines, all that stuff. But apart from that, I was just like quiet and shy. But when you mentioned like parents' evenings, mine were always good. Like I was never worried about parents even, I can't lie to you, because it was always just like, yeah, good at English, good at this, contribute to class. I was like, oh cool. From younger days I knew like, okay, I'm a good student. But yeah, it took me a while to like grow into this Samira, because at primary school, and I'd probably even say a lot of secondary school, I was like quite shy and like introverted, which is kind of different to how I am now.
Yeah, that's really good, so surprising. Yeah.
Yeah,
because you didn't expect it.
Yeah, people always say that like when I tell them, but it probably wasn't until like I was 16 that, which is like really quite late. But yeah, it wasn't probably until I was 16 that like I proper kicked into like my full personality and just decided to like shed everything else from like primary. I was like, yeah, forget all of that. Time to be me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's really good though, because sometimes you need that time to sort of develop, and like you were taking in like lots of input from like other people. I wish sometimes I had been a bit more reserved as a kid. But definitely I feel like I've actually done the opposite of yourself actually, Samira, because I feel like from maybe 16 to about 24 I started to become a bit more reserved and kind of start to like be a bit more introverted. And it's only now, so I'm 28, and it's only sort of in the last couple of years that I've started to come back in and sort of normalize like it's okay for me to be loud and speak up and like get back to that personality that I kind of used to have, that I sort of like tampered down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting. I feel like that was really similar to my experience. Like I think in primary school I was just so loud and outspoken, and then I think as the years went on, I think I got progressively more reserved, and then yeah, just in the last couple of years I was like, no, use your voice, like why are we being quiet for, why are we sitting in the corner? Like that's so interesting.
I wonder how much of that was like just our personalities, or like when you're younger you are a bit more outspoken because you're like, you're just a kid and you just say what's on your mind, but then like the older you get, sort of learning how society treats you and how like, oh, like you shouldn't speak here, you don't want to be that loud crazy, oh, you don't want to be the loud black person, like can we just dial it down a little bit? Because I remember like when it got to secondary school specifically, like the way teachers would treat certain students and just be like, oh, they're always disruptive, and you'd notice that I noticed they'd always say that about like the black kids, calling them disruptive, or the ones who are always talking and never concentrating, that kind of stuff. So I wonder how much of it was like just natural personality, but how much it was like put onto us, you know.
So I've kind of always been like the only black kid in the class. So I can only like sort of speak from my experience, but I feel like I was quite lucky that it always kind of felt like it was the other students that thought that I was really loud and outspoken. And a few times I would hear like a little rumor going around about me being like a know-it-all and being like a teacher's pet and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I can probably like, okay, that last one was probably correct. I love talking to the teachers. I was like, you mean if I talk to them, they'll tell you more information that makes it easier to get through this class? You mean when they explain, I can maybe get the answer quicker? What? So like, I was always kind of like outspoken in the sense that I always like liked to engage with like the teachers and like just, yeah, I talked a lot in class because I was like, I was probably maybe that kid in some classes that was like, Miss, you forgot to collect the homework. That's only because I put in my work and I want it to be recognized. God damn it.
I hear that. I
respect it. Credit where it's due, man. Yeah.
And no, especially when it was a big assignment and you were actually panicking the night before. Like, the least you're going to do is collect this homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you are going to collect this homework if it's the last thing you do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I was kind of outspoken in that sense. And I always like to offer my opinion and all that stuff. But I think a lot of the kids kind of took it like I was offering my opinion because like I thought my opinion was the correct one, when in actuality it was just because like I liked talking to people and I liked hearing where they were coming from, and all that. So it's like the older I got, the more like I think maybe I allowed people's expectations of me, like just allowing them to get in my head and like convince me that me being outspoken meant like I was, you know, domineering or like giving them a view, like just I don't know, kind of like it was my opinion or no opinion, when in actuality I valued all the opinions. I just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. You're like, I just want to share my points.
Yeah, like I just want to have a good conversation with everyone. And but obviously like with other people it's kind of like, will she ever shut up? My god.
Yeah, I hear that. Plus kids are mean, like they're so mean.
For sure, definitely. Oh yeah. Gosh. Like growing up in Musselburgh, like where I'm from, it was always like, oh, you're always waiting for like the next like interesting, most creative insult in a way for them to call you black without actually saying it. Oh, honestly.
Oh my god. Jeez. Yeah, I feel like we've been through some things. Oh my god. Like I feel like my experience is slightly different. Like I definitely feel like when I was younger I just didn't ever think twice about what I did, and then I think as I got older and I started to kind of understand, I guess, yeah, what it meant to be a black girl in this world and how people would view me, I just kind of felt like I should take up less space, I guess, which I feel like a lot of people can relate to be fair. It's just mad when I think about it, because in primary school I was like, I was a lot, like I was way too big for my boots. There was even a point where, this is a very embarrassing story, I don't know why I'm telling it, but there was a point where me and a group of friends, we decided to start a pop group.
Why is that embarrassing?
Because I cannot carry a tune. Like, we were not musically gifted. No one could sing between us. We fully would, like, play times. We would be like, guys, you're going to listen to us sing this S Club 7 song. Like, it was a lot. So I don't know how we got from there to being quiet, but hey.
I have an even more embarrassing story than that one. Again, like in my school, in my year, this was when like the Cheetah Girls came out, okay? So there was a pop group, and it was four of them, because obviously there are four Cheetah Girls. I was not one of the four. I would see them rehearsing in the playground all the time, and I'd be like, can I join? They're like, well, there's only four Cheetah Girls in this four of us. But I really wanted to join all the time, so that's probably a bit more embarrassing than like singing S Club 7 songs is not being the one in the group.
No, Sammy, it gets worse. We decided that we had fans, and we went home and we got our parents to take pictures of us, then we printed off the pictures and we signed them, and then we handed them out to the other kids in school.
I love that. Nah, you were just manifesting your destiny. That's what you were doing.
I was like, I know my worth. I know you want my autograph. It will be worth something one day. Exactly. You're welcome.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
I love that.
Level. Wow. You said autographs. Wow.
Like, the confidence.
Like, did you guys have, like, coordinated outfits or anything?
Of course we did. Yeah, there were colour schemes. There were dance moves. We took it very seriously. Lunchtime was live.
It sounds like you gave like lunchtime entertainment. Like you should have been paid, really. People should,
Honestly, I need to come and collect. I need to get those autographs back because, wow, that was a lot.
What camera were you guys doing? Was it Kodak or Polaroid?
It was something digital, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Like the basic digital ones.
Yes.
Honestly. Like, yeah. I look at the Kodak pictures and I'm just like, does anybody still develop them? Or is it, like, expensive?
I also have the same thing where it's like, I was looking at old pictures and I remember the enjoyment of, like, having to go to, like, Boots or Asda with my mum to, like, get them printed. And they'd always get you, like, the printout version, but then the roll, the film roll as well.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was a moment.
That is.
As the film roll, like, oh, we didn't know what to do with that, but now I'm thinking as an adult, I should go get some of these redeveloped. But do they still offer that? I don't think they do.
I'm sure they would, surely. Yeah, I think they would.
Yeah. Or like other more photography type printing places definitely would. But that's actually such a good idea. Just like collecting the old films, just be like, oh, I wonder what's on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all those birthday parties that you went to.
Yes.
The birthday parties, the looks.
People went in.
I really miss being that age because just I don't know about you guys, but it just felt like the world was just so, so, so big, like enormous. And your imagination was in overdrive at that time. I feel like our sense of like scent, like smell and taste was just more like intense, because when I think about things like Capri Sun and all those things, like thinking about birthday parties, and I can almost taste like the cake, the frosting, like you know, like the grittiness of it, and drinking like Capri Sun or Sunny D, and it's just...
Sunny D. I was just thinking of Sunny D.
I'm not gonna lie, I mean? I'm pretty sure there was some crack in Sunny D because that was addictive.
It was addictive. It was
it really like, was
orangey and taste. It was delicious.
There really must have been something in there, even just like simple chips.
Yeah,
like chips tasted amazing back then.
Even like school dinners hit different. Like I was excited every day to queue up.
No, sprinkle cake. The sprinkle cake. What's that one?
In
the tray. It was like the tray bake, and it was a sponge. You just had like a thin layer of icing on top, and just loads of sprinkles, and you get that with custard. Like some people call it like birthday cake or tray cake. But it was literally just like a square, and it was just so sugary and just great. I loved it. I loved it.
It was so tasty. Even the school dinner pizza, you know, that square slice.
Yep.
That was good.
Why was it always square?
Do you know what? I just unlocked a memory I forgot I had. Did you used to have these, like, I don't even know what they are. I think they're made of potato, but they're shaped of like a window or a smiley face.
I buy those. I buy, it's like smileys. The waffles, they're waffles, yeah. McCain makes them. Buy them.
No way. They still taste
like your childhood.
Beans.
Yes.
They really so do. Good. Turkey dinosaurs.
Oh, stop. Stop.
All of that. Poor Jamie Oliver took away our tasty school dinners.
We've never forgiven him for it.
Never. No,
I really haven't.
We may be in our 20s. We still remember. The streets.
Still remember.
In it?
I know, and he's been quiet now.
Yeah, like where have you gone? I just remember being so excited to queue up every day to go and get my dinner on my little tray. Like that was a moment.
Yeah. And a tray, it had like the round bit for your cup and the bit for like, your cutlery, and you had your dessert on like one side. It was such a smart tray. Like such a smart tray.
Really used to love that. It's like you say, like the little cutouts just contained so much anticipation. That's the best way I can think about it. Just the potential of what was going to be on your plate was just enough.
Yeah.
Where literally you went to school at 9, you came back at 3 o'clock, and you just watched Disney Channel or CBC for the rest of the day. Like life was easy. Life was easy. Yeah. There was no dissertations, no reports, nothing. Hustle, hustle, hustle. It was
no invoices, like
freedom. No need to worry about taxes and like national insurance, all of that business. No stress.
Rebates. Just, like, what?
Yeah.
You can just pay out with your friends. Do you remember playing out with your friends?
Oh my
god. Yes, I do. I really do. Especially like summer holidays. Summer holidays, the sun is about to set. It's warm. you know, you've got your corduroy jeans on.
Your corduroy.
You've got your little outfit on, like you're dusty, your lips are dry, like you've just had a good day.
Literally. Like, or a cut on your knee somewhere.
Oh, yes, the cuts, always the cuts. Yeah, the grease. Yeah. But it was fine. Like, you've had all that drama that's happened. You maybe climbed a tree.
Yeah.
You know? I miss that. Oh, there's so much potential in the world back then.
Yeah. And I feel like at that point, I was just so excited to just wake up every day. Now I'm like, my alarm goes off and I'm like, again, I have to do this again. I have to get up and do things.
When does it end, by the way?
Please tell me. Please give me the date.
I'm like, does this get more enjoyable? Like, and do you know what it is? It's like, I feel like my sleeps are so short. Like, when the alarm goes off, I was like, I just fell asleep. Like, what is this?
Literally.
I'll tell you guys a secret.
Go on.
So, I was feeling the exact same thing where I feel like I close my eyes and I just wake up and it's the next day. So what I started doing, and my partner really hates me for it, is setting an alarm for 3:30 in the morning. So it goes off and I wake up and I'm like, I've still got hours left.
I do that as well.
That's a cheap code. I
do it for like 3 a.m. but sometimes, like, even if I know, like, I wake up early, I'll still let that alarm go off and just be like, oh, I get to go back to bed. I get to go back to bed. It's like, oh,
you have no intention of getting out of bed at 3:45 a.m. but the alarm goes off.
Prove to yourself that, like, no, I didn't just blink and wake up. Like, there's stages to this, but it's the going back to bed that just, it hits different that second time.
Yep, yeah, it really does. Your dreams are just so much better when you know, like, oh, I've still got time to resolve this. Yeah.
Yes. And then you've got proof that you actually did have a full night's sleep.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I really hate that. Just going to sleep, wake up, what? I'm at work again.
Like, yeah, if I wake up before my alarm, I don't care if it's like 20 minutes before my alarm or like 2 minutes. I'm like, I'm going back to bed. Like, I need those extra minutes, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
For sure, definitely. I watched this YouTube video again a few days ago, which was saying, like, we all have like a circadian rhythm. So, like, the whole waking up at 9 a.m. Waking up at 7 a.m. to get ready for work and, you know, to be in the office for 9 a.m. is just completely a man-made construct. Like, this literally only started happening in the last 100 years or so, like, you know, industrialization and all that stuff. Because actually what's meant to happen is you're like, some people genuinely wake up at 7 a.m. and they feel fulfilled because their REM cycle happens like at an appropriate time for them. But the majority of people, like, well, majority, can't even put any facts around it, but some people, so some people have got a rhythm where you naturally feel sleepy around 1 a.m. and your natural waking up time is 10 a.m. So forcing yourself to wake up at, you know, 7 a.m. to get ready for work is unnatural to you, and that's why you're not fully awake. Maybe that's why you feel like, I need to go back to sleep to actually, like, sleep properly.
I think I'm one of those people, you know. I really believe that, because that sounds like what naturally fits me better, because when the alarm does go off, I'm just not ready to get up, and I have to lie there and, like, convince myself to get up at that time. But, like, look at what capitalists did to my people.
Exactly. It is capitalism. Yeah. It's like you're waking up for someone else's dream. That's what you're doing.
That's so deep. That's so deep. It's so true, though. This is not what God intended. I cannot lie.
He had us foraging out there in the wild. That's what he had us doing.
Yeah, it's no wonder we're struggling. Wow.
We're meant to do it all in our own timetable, on our own time scale. It's not wake up at 7 a.m. to get ready for the office at 9 a.m. and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, but alas, the bills have to be paid.
Honestly, I'm still waiting for a sugar daddy, but until then, bills have to be paid.
Yeah,
I want to be a child again. I remember, like, being in year six and just, like, feeling so elite. So this is like primary school, but you're like the oldest of the primary school lot, and you're only like 10-11 years old, but you still feel elite because, like, you're the big dogs now. You get to sit on the benches in assembly. Meanwhile, these little foundlings are all sitting with their legs crossed, and it's like, oh, been there, done that. And at my school, once you got to year six, you got a different tie. So when you were in like primary, when you were in like infant school, when like year one, two, three, four, and five, you had like the red ties. Once you got to year six, you got a blue tie. So there was just this whole elitism. It's probably the most like elite I'll ever get in life. But I felt that, like, the benches just made me feel like I was someone, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how they prepare us for life. That's how they do it. They teach about hierarchy that way.
Yeah.
Get you from young.
10 months, and then I got to year seven. It's like, oh, back to the bottom of the barrel.
No, you're right. That the graduation from sitting on the floor to sitting on the bench is, it was elite. It was a great feeling. Could you spend all of those years being like, one day I will get to sit on that bench and look down at all the people below me, and that day comes and it is sweet.
Yes. And there's also, did you guys ever have like a talent show? Like an end of year talent show, like for the for us, like the P7s. So primary seven was last year, I think you're about 12 maximum. Mm-hmm. So we got to do like an end of year show, and I remember when I first joined, I was like a year low, I was in P6, and I remember being like, ooh, they get to do talent show, because I loved stage, lovely talent show, and all that stuff. I was just like, I can't wait. They look so grown up with their, like, you know, they've got little choreographed dances, someone's singing a solo. Can you imagine singing a solo, like the whole 3 minutes is yours?
Yeah, mad.
Amazing. Yeah, no, definitely used to want to be the older kid.
I remember like the year above me when they did their talent show, and like these three girls like sang Umbrella by Rihanna, and they did a choreography as well, and like had umbrellas, and I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is so cool.
They brought props.
They had the props in the whole umbrella choreography and singing at the same time in front of the whole school, and I was like, wow, they are brave.
They really are. Choreography.
I know. Like, everyone was about the choreography back then. And then, like, once my year got to, like, got to year six, we had, like, a leavers assembly. And this is, like, obviously where, like, everyone says farewell. Because, you know, you're going off to secondary. You're a big kid now. But I remember we sang, it was another Rihanna song. We were really obsessed with Rihanna back then. What was it called? What was that song called?
SOS?
No, it was like the really sad one. It was like,
if it's loving that you want.
Oh, take a bow.
Take a bow. That was
I remember that one as well.
Yeah, but like the whole, we all sung that in like harmonies, unison, and it was so sad. Like, we were leaving and it was in front of everyone, and we were singing Take a Bow as we were like leaving the stage. It was anyone at St. Aloysius Primary School remembers that.
When you guys left primary school, did you have a day where like everyone would go and sign each other's t-shirts and write little notes? Because that was emotional.
We call it muck up day.
Oh.
So M-U-C-K up day, muck up day. And yeah, you got to sign each other's shirts and all that stuff. But fundamentally, you got to like just do like really fun things around the mud. Like, you could just be like just as dirty as possible.
I'm
like,
sorry, mud? Fun?
Muck up day.
Mud in the school, huh?
Mud, not in the school, in the at the playground.
Oh, fair.
Yeah, like, they weren't going to say anything if you just did, like, nonsense, basically.
The really funny thing about this is, like, people would write on your shirt, like, oh, I'm really going to miss you, and they'd write their number, stay in touch. I never stayed in touch with anyone.
I'm still waiting.
Literally, not a single phone call has been received.
Call me.
Just, you genuinely said you would contact me. I'm still waiting. We've been through AOL, MSN, freaking IM. We've been through Bebo. I'm still waiting.
MSN. Oh my goodness. The days of MSN where you'd like message your crush, like, do you like me? And if they said no, be like, oh, sorry, that was my brother.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Every time. You thought it was so slick. That was a dare. It wasn't me. That are awful.
I used to love it though. Oh, so wait, so if you don't mind me asking, how old are you guys?
I'm 24.
23.
I love it. So you guys, did you get the dial-up internet?
I did not.
I still remember that. It'd go like,
what?
He's what? Making the weirdest noises.
It would literally, like, it would make the weirdest noises.
Sometimes you'd open your mouth and pretend the noise is coming from your mouth.
Yeah. Please explain how this worked.
Let me try and remember. Basically, it was all connected to your landline. And to go onto the internet, I think your landline, your computer had to dial out using your landline to connect. And that's why it made that, like, to establish a connection. And then you were in the internet. But if you got, like, a landline call, it would disrupt that connection. And that's what would kick you off the internet, if I remember correctly.
Bro, that is long.
Yeah, wow. So it was just like you really had to carve out that time, like, go on the internet before 6 p.m. before, like, do you remember when I think calls to landlines were free after a certain time?
Yes,
I think it was like 6 p.m. or something. But yeah, you had to be on the internet before that because you know that people were obviously going to be calling after six.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I just remember the sound.
Oh yeah, it was good though. I would do anything to bring that back. Yeah.
That dial-up sound.
Did you think guys...
a lot of sorry?
Oh, go on.
No, I was gonna say I feel like a lot of people could do with the use of dial-up internet, just to give them some time to think before they tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Piers Morgan, Katie Hopkins.
That's who I was thinking about.
I'm dead. Did you guys also go through the phase of burning songs onto CDs and then giving them to friends?
I could never figure it out. I could never figure it out. I don't know. I just didn't have my computer could not handle burning things on, like, it couldn't. I couldn't download stuff. Like, it would just die.
Like, so I think I got this this, like, MP3 player, and I think it was Sony Ericsson, but it was like a USB one. So you could just plug it into the computer and then, like, download the songs. But this is when we would use, like, this illegal website called LimeWire, and you could
LimeWire.
Yeah.
Any of the songs, and it would just come up. So I was just downloading that onto, like, my little MP3 player on the bus to school in my headphones, just jamming out. And then when I got bored of it, boom, switch up the songs. And I don't know if you remember, like, the music player, it would have the cool waves, like the colorful waves.
Yeah.
I missed that. Like, that was just so nostalgic.
Was there that music player that used to be on Windows that you could change the skin of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could probably just stare at those waves for, like, the whole day.
Yeah.
I used to love it so much. Oh, so, I loved LimeWire. I think it was something else, but I can't remember. But it was just so dangerous times on the internet.
It was. I was like, this is not safe.
No, it really is.
It is everywhere.
In hindsight, my God.
Yeah, it was It was dangerous.
There's a lot going on the internet in the early 2000s.
Honestly, it was a lot.
I wonder what Twitter would have been like back then. What would people have been tweeting about? Because I guess there's, like, loads of young kids right now that have got, like, access to Twitter that are, you know, 9, 10, 11. What would we have been tweeting about back then?
What was even going on back then?
S Club.
Yes.
Tracy Beaker.
Oh, my God.
No, stop.
Tracy Beaker.
Yeah. Like, not Justine again.
Yeah. Justine, give it a rest. Bog off.
Whatever was showing on, like, Disney Channel, you know how they had, like, the feature films? I still remember when High School Musical 1 first came out, and the build-up, because they were building up this show for, like, 2 weeks with, like, the premiere day, and it was always 6 p.m. on a Friday. And when I first saw it, I was like, wow.
What is going on? They're singing and they're acting?
At the same time? They're dancing? And they say they don't dance, but they're dancing?
Wow. Everyone is wearing red. I love it.
It was when I saw the black people in it, I was like, oh, what?
You know what, though? Chad from HSL, he was one of my first crushes. I was like, wow, this is a moment. I'm feeling some things right now.
What was his, was it the actor or the character?
I think it was the actor. God, he was like Troy's best friend who played basketball.
Oh, is it the black guy with the hair?
The curly hair.
Yeah. The curly hair.
Curly hair.
Yeah. Oh, he was great. I loved him.
I need his hair routine because the curls were on point. That was a moment. That felt like such a cultural moment, High School Musical.
It really was. Like, I don't think there was anything really that's been as big. Maybe for, like, the kids growing up now, they've had something that's been as big. I feel like for us, that was a big turning point, actually, High School Musical.
Yeah, because I feel like there was, like, I guess Twilight and like the Hunger Games, but it I just don't feel like it hit the same.
No, yeah. It really did it. Was there Hairspray?
Anything will compare to like High School Musical.
Yeah. Oh no, I love Hairspray though.
Oh, I do love Hairspray, but that to me that's just like a different realm in terms of like young, good feature films that like were just so defining of like a generation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Gen Z mm-hmm. had that.
I don't know. Yeah, because like, Camp Rock even belonged to us, didn't it?
Yeah. Camp Rock was a moment, man. That was great. That was
sorry, so but why were the Jonas Brothers straightening their hair? That's oh what I want to do.
It was the look.
And the really skinny jeans with the straightened jet black hair?
Yep.
Why?
That was it. With the stripy tops.
Yes, everyday stripes. It's not a look. My favorite thing about that film though was that obviously there's lots of dancing, but half the people cannot dance in it, and if you just focus on the people in the background, it's very entertaining.
Oh really? I might do that. Yeah, I might watch it.
That sounds really fun. I've got Disney Plus. I might do that.
Do it. Treat yourself.
Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
I loved those two.
I love London.
For me, I was like, is being a twin a personality trait? Because isn't it really fun?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
I don't know why I like them so much, but I was like, I think it's definitely like the twin thing and like the like mischievousness, but also like really funny. I don't know, but I absolutely love that show.
Yeah. Do you know what? It was That's So Raven for me. That was my show.
Yes. Oh, it was amazing. I didn't really care for Corey in the house.
No, it just, no.
Yeah, it was just like, oh yeah. Maybe I was just growing out of it at that point. I was just like, but it's not That So Raven, so why am I interested?
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't really live up to the hype, unfortunately, as a spin-off.
Yeah. Like, no, he was kind of the side man, unfortunately.
Yeah. He still looks the same to this day. It's so weird. Bro,
has not a day.
It really is, because he's like a fully grown man with the voice and everything.
I need to know what he's drinking, because it's working.
Blade.
Elixir of life.
Yes. Yeah.
Staying out of the public
eye. I think it's that.
That's why he's drinking.
Because I never hear anything about what's his name? Like Corey Mackey?
Who?
Like Corey. I'm trying to think of like his
real the character's name.
No, like
his real name.
His
real name.
Oh, pass.
But maybe I think you might be correct. Like when you just keep to your business and you mind your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's staying in his lane and he
doesn't age you. Like other people are out here like losing hair.
yeah.
At the age of 40 because they're just all up in people's business.
Exactly.
Yeah. Some people have not aged gracefully because they did not act gracefully. That's why.
Exactly.
Kyle Massey. That was his name. It just came to me.
That oh, so it was.
Yeah, and his brother was in Zoe 101.
I loved Zoe 101. Oh my god. Like, I can't even. I loved it. And the scandal between like Jamie Linsby. Oh my god.
Yeah.
That was truly like a turning point for all of us. Because she was only 16, I think, when she got pregnant.
Whoa, I never watched this. Wow. This is some drama.
Yeah, yeah. So Zoe 101, because she was Britney's younger sister, and she got pregnant. I don't know if like one season had come out or two seasons, but it was really early on in Zoe 101 and they had to cancel it and everything because obviously Nickelodeon was like, ugh.
Oh shit, man.
This makes so much sense as to why the show was cancelled now.
It was so good. It's such a shame because it was amazing. I think they should have just played it through. Just played it through.
Just add it into the plot, innit?
That would have been a great moment to talk about, like, you know, getting pregnant when you're young and like all of these. It would have been a great opportunity for them to educate kids.
You know what? You missed the mark.
They did. They failed us as a generation.
Exactly, because we all absolutely love Jamie Lynn.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So wait, I haven't watched the documentary yet, so maybe my opinion might change.
Oh, I watched it. Like she's not in it. It's literally just like about Britney, like her come up. It's weird. Like at the start, just seeing how like pervy men were openly,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, a bit jarring. Like when she was 10 years old and she was like on this talent show, and the like host is literally a 70-year-old like a white man with wrinkles. And he's like, do you have a boyfriend, Brittany? And she's like,
disgusting.
No.
Oh my God.
And he's like, why not? And she was like, I don't want a boyfriend. And he goes, can I be your boyfriend?
Oh,
year old man. Like, what? Excuse me, sir?
No. And that was allowed to air. That's disgusting. That's right? Actually disgusting. Jesus Christ. It's not even shocking. Like, you can't even be surprised by it, but it's just sad to go through all of that and people are only like now waking up to it.
Yeah, it was a very telling documentary. But
Justin Timberlake.
Do you know what? From the day when he like ripped off Janet Jackson's top and didn't apologize, didn't help her in that situation on stage, it's not for me.
Yeah. I think he completely, again, people are missing the mark and failing to own up and have a proper discussion about things at the time it's happening. Can't just come back like, what, 15 years later, but oops, my bad. Like, really?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, now there's a backlash. You're sorry.
Honestly, and it's like your PR person has just written this apology for you and like, not even your own words. And
it's just talking points. That's all it is. It's not really a proper apology.
Yeah, awful. But yeah, did you guys also watch Hannah Montana? Because that was my show.
I was just on the edge of Hannah Montana, so I think I watched one season, and then I think I was like, I'm too old for this.
No, it was so good. And she'd whip off the wig, and they'd be like, oh my God, you're a different person. It was so good.
Crazy.
To this day, I just didn't get how, like, no one knew. Like, her face is still the same. It was like her best friend, Lily, and just, like, Rico, like, it's, like, her face is the same. It's literally one wig. But yeah, I used to bang out that show. And I remember she actually came to London once because like she wasn't just doing the show, but like she was also releasing the soundtrack to like the songs on the show. So she came to like HMV back when HMV was a thing in Oxford Street and did like a meet and greet. And I actually got to meet her.
What?
Oh, that sounds amazing. How was it?
My DVD of like Hannah Montana, like the first series and like the CD as well. It was so much fun. I was like, you've got the same birthday as my little brother.
No, you've won.
That's amazing.
You have won in life.
I love that so much. Aww. That's really wholesome.
The next day I went to school and I like took it and I was like, look everyone, I got Hannah Montana's signature.
Oh my God. No, you made it. You actually made it.
You did.
Oh goodness. But yeah.
Aww.
Oh my God. Did you guys also in school, like when you were younger, did you have like computer rooms and then you'd have free time where you could just go and play these games? Because that
free time, no.
What,
we had like scheduled class time. I hear now that they've got like free time, you can go into the computer class like during lunch, but nah, it was only that time that you were scheduled in and no other time.
You were denied in Scotland. It was like every Friday afternoon, they called it golden time. And there would be like a chart on the wall throughout the week. And like, if you were ever like naughty or you spoke, they would like minus 5 minutes off your golden time. But yeah, it was fully just computers go on there. So we were like playing Polly Pocket. EastEnders had a website at this point where you could just like give makeovers to the cast. I remember like dressing up.
Amazing.
Stardoll.
Dressupgames.com.
Yeah.
My scene.
No, stop. That was cool.
I used to love those websites so much. Yeah, had like the iMac computers and stuff, but our golden time, circle time, I think, was just reading.
That's really lovely. They did you dirty. I'm so sorry.
No, I loved it. I really did.
Okay, that's all right then.
I love golden time.
The computers, there was something about just being in that room, just like it was just you and Polly Pocket, and it was a moment.
Those websites. I think some of these sites are still
as well. Do you know the Polly Pocket song?
La 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 Polly. Na 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 na. I think.
With my friends beside me.
There's nothing we can do.
Oh, yes.
You want to have some fun jumping and singing?
Do you know what? I think if you use, like, there's a website called Wayback Machine, you can go to those websites as they were at that time, and it is such a trip.
I want to do that.
Oh, my God. I need that. That's that in my life.
Just, like, something fun to do.
I want to have a party, like, when parties are a thing again. Just even saying that sounds ridiculous. But I want to have a birthday ball where it's just like nostalgia and it's just like really old video games like Polly Pocket. That sounds so much fun.
Everyone brings like flip phones, like their old Nokia with Snake on it. Yeah.
Yes, all of that. No iPhone, no smartphones allowed. It's like really old. Yes.
Eating party treats like those alien saucers, the banana, the foam bananas.
Also, we need to bring goodie bags back because that was the best part of these parties.
For real, people need to start doing like party bags and gift bags. Like, why should we stop doing that just because, you know, we're at a big age? Like, I want to get a gift too.
I don't want any of these like super fancy gift bags with the I'm giving you a bracelet. Oh, fuck that. Give me the give me the sweets.
Yeah, give me party rings.
What I want.
Bring me that eyeshadow and the lip gloss. Yes. Is popping. My lip gloss. Yes. Yeah, I'll take that.
Exactly. The lip gloss that tastes like candy or it smells like sweets. I want that.
Yes.
The best ones.
Don't give me Carmex. Give me the one. I want the practical one. I want my hair to stick on my lips.
Literally that. Or like you rub it and then you like lick it by accident and you're like, this actually tastes good.
Yes. Yes.
No, Sammy, you need to throw this party and I'll arrange the goodie bags. This
is a throwback party.
Yes.
I'm gonna do it. For sure.
It has to be. Sure.
This needs to happen.
When we're allowed to travel, I'll come.
Yeah, please.
Honestly, oh, do you know what? That reminded me of like when you did the you were on like the Instagram, the Black Scott Pod Instagram, and you were like doing a tour of I think it was Edinburgh. Yeah. I want to go so bad.
Oh, it's so nice. Oh, it's what you have a standing invitation to come over. You can stay at my house. Like genuinely, you will love it. It's so good. I don't know how else to describe it. I think the good news about Edinburgh and stuff is while racism does exist, they're too scared to say it to your face. So that's really good.
You know what? Small wins. Small wins. You have to celebrate them.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of people like keeping their business to themselves.
Exactly. It's good. You can live your life in peace. They'll just give you a look and you can just give them a look back and they'll look away.
Wow. Down here they will tell you that they have concerns over your skin color or that casual racism is okay, so I will take that any day.
I mean that still exists, but just in general, like, you'll be able to have a good tourist time. Like you'll have a fun time. Aww. Always come during Fringe, like Edinburgh Fringe.
I want to go to that.
Yeah, I'm just that episode as well, and like I need to go and find the films that you were on about, because I was like, woo, toilet auntie, I need to
So good. Oh, yes. I thought without giving you spoilers for the episode, but like, yeah, we definitely talk about like our experiences clubbing in Edinburgh.
I miss clubbing. I was like, rah, clubbing. That hasn't happened in a long time.
Do you remember when you used to like be on the dance floor, stumble to the bathroom, and then there's like a difference in sound change, like it's and then you get into the toilet and it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Do you remember being in rooms that were stupidly loud?
That was a moment. I miss that. I just miss walking into a toilet and realizing how drunk you are when you stare at yourself in the mirror.
The light hits you, God.
And then also making friends with other girls in the toilet and then like them pouring their heart to you about like, you know, some boy who broke their heart. And you just bond. Oh my God, I love your shade of lipstick.
Yes. Borrowing things even though you really shouldn't. Can you imagine going into a club right now, club bathroom, and a girl is like, anybody got some lip gloss? As if.
Whoa, oh my God, these days. Imagine.
Never heard of that, never seen that.
Nah, can you actually imagine some of like the closeness that we used to have with just strangers?
Strangers.
In bathrooms. Oh, that's so funny.
Having said that, once they're open, that will be me. I'll be like, yeah, here's my lip gloss, go for
it. Let's do it. Let's open this world up. Honestly, I'm ready for it.
No, but we will take you up on that offer because Edinburgh looked lit. And then Sammy, you need to host this nostalgia party. And
I literally told you about it the other day. I'm like, we're gonna have the whole organized dances, there'll be choreography.
Cha-cha slide.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, I miss doing candy.
Oh my God.
No, this is too much.
Candy.
And like, there's always that one person who doesn't get it right. And it's like, bro, like, it's the same movement. We've been doing it for like 20 years now. How do you still not know?
I have to admit, you guys, I only found out about Candy like 2 years ago. Yeah, literally only found out 2 years. What dance? Because it was a work thing. And all the Black people just got on the dance floor and were doing the dance. I was like, I shall not sit by and watch this enjoyment pass me by. I will join in. And it was so good. And honestly, that's such a great song. So good. And you could just tell, like, everyone else was like, how have they coordinated this?
Yeah, like,
you look around the room, you just see like all the white people watching you, like, did they plan this? Like,
yeah, is this a flash mob
at the exact same time? Wow,
is this like a dance of their country? What's going on?
Yeah, everybody was just on point and they got it. Like, it is, like you said, it's an easy dance. Like, once you've got it, once you do one rotation, it's like, oh, okay, yeah.
I wonder if, like, when they were making this song, they knew that there would be this whole dance movement and it would just become a part of, like, culture, of Black culture. Like, no matter where you are, everyone knows the Candy. I think they were, like, the TikTok before TikTok was a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an idea. We should do a TikTok. No, actually, I'm really bad at TikToks.
We're doing it.
Do the Candy TikTok.
Yeah, when we come up to Edinburgh, we're doing a TikTok.
Yes, definitely.
Right outside, like, the castle or something.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh, that is a vibe. That's a vibe. Okay. Yes.
Oh, I can't wait. No, this was so fun though. It was so nice just taking a little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, no, it really was. Especially just in these times. I'm looking forward to any kind of thinking back to good times.
Honestly, I'm like, you have to take the enjoyment where you can get it these days. Like, be creative.
Yes. Apart from your, like, rinsing Just Eat.
When I tell you, I spent $4.50 on delivery today just to get some chips that cost me £1.99. And I was like, this is a robbery. But
really, the delivery costs that just be like bumping up the price. And it's like, the product isn't even that expensive. How dare the delivery be more expensive than the product itself?
You really hate to see it.
Really hate to see it, for sure.
No, but here we are. Honestly, though, thank you so much for joining us, Susie. This was so fun. It was honestly a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
I can't wait to come up to Edinburgh and hopefully we can do this again with Shirley as well.
Yes. Okay, so when the summer opens up, if not this summer, next summer, let's do the Edinburgh Fringe. You'll love it.
By force, it has to be this summer. I'm tired.
Damn it.
No, it's going in the diary now. This is happening. And if you want to share your thoughts on the episode, use hashtag BlackBrokenBrilliant on Twitter or message us on our Insta page. You know what to do.
Like, subscribe, give us a rating if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Share this podcast with your mums, your grands, your bosses and your friends from primary school.
Yeah, we'll be back next Thursday. I've been Ivy.
I've been Samiracle. Thanks for listening.